There must be an on button somewhere.
It's time for a cup of tech gumbo.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Haggai Davis talks technology news using language even Brian can understand.
You just don't get it.
I don't have your head for science, so I'm not going to be able to help much.
For a full serving, check out Tech Gumbo, presented by Cardinal Capital and General Informatics, Saturday and Sunday at 4.
We got 30 years worth of files right here in this computer that are going to bring you down.
A cup of Tech Gumbo on Talk 107.3.
I'm sorry, wrong password. Come on.
Yes, it's time for Cup of Tech Gumbo. Yes, we welcome in Haggai Davis. What's happening, man?
Just so excited to be here, Brian.
It's week one, man. It's week one of college football.
It is.
It's difficult to concentrate on anything but that on this Friday.
Hey, look, and we started off with the Florida loss. It's a great football weekend.
I can't tell if Utah looked that good. Like, you don't know how good one is until you have the comp. And we don't have the comp. We just have it on an island that, LSU should have gone to ULF. Head coach, keep it in house. Shut up. Anyway. Hey, are automated vehicles racist?
No.
Yes, they are.
Well, kind of.
Let's give the backstory here. The headline reads, driverless cars have more trouble detecting kids and dark-skinned pedestrians. Researchers at King's College in London found that self-driving car systems are 20% better at detecting adults than children and 7.5% more accurate for light-skinned pedestrians. So
this goes right back to the facial recognition problem.
Yeah, but this isn't facial recognition. This is there's something in the way.
Well, what it is we're not training these autonomous vehicles with images of dark-skinned people. These are machines. When all you teach the machine is white people, that's all they're going to recognize. And so it's a problem.
It's a pedestrian detection system. I'm not asking them to name the person or identify the person. Just know to tap the brakes when you see something.
So, it's
hit the horn, give a shout out, something.
It recognizes something is there. It just doesn't recognize it as a human, you know. This is not a good thing. I'm not trying to defend it here.
Racist cars. Driverless cars reportedly can't detect children and darker skinned pedestrians as well as they can lighter skinned adults. Researchers at King's College tested 8 AI powered pedestrian detective systems against 8,000 plus images and found that the software's ability to detect pedestrians was 20% higher for adults than it was for children. Okay, so I get it on a size basis, kind of. I'm not condoning running kids down, but I get it on a size basis that, like, this size of this thing would be recognized as a full human person, right? This is, it's shaped like a human, but it's not the full size, so there would be confusion there.
But see, you're thinking like a human. You're not thinking like a machine. These are machines that are being taught. This is what to look for.
Right.
And so if it's not being taught to look for dark-skinned people, then it's not going to recognize it as well as it's going to recognize what it is being taught. Mm. And that's the problem. The same thing with, like I said, with facial recognition software. When all you're showing is just a bunch of white guys, because that's it's being shown in the development of this stuff, then that's the problem. And so there is more research that needs to happen. There is more development to where they're showing a wider range of images of people, more than just white guys that are sitting around the rooms when they're coding all this stuff.
We've been talking about this on and off for well over a year now.
Yes.
How long does it take to make this adapt? How long does it take to make the system learn?
It's not very long, but it's a matter of inputting the data. If you're not feeding it more information, if all you're just continuously feeding it the same thing, trying to get it to recognize the guy walking down the street, the guy in the lab with the cars that don't have dark skin, then that's the problem. Sorry, Alondra, you're going to get run over by one of these cars.
The researchers note that a lot of the issue is because the AI models are trained on photos that feature more people with light skin than dark skin. So what I want, that's from the story. So what I want to know is how hard is it to, let's just say put flyers on college campuses. Attention, people of color, we want to take your picture. We'll pay you $5 for it. Like, how is that out of the realm of possibility just for the sake of developing the database to get the right differences within people, the right recognition?
No, and it's not. I mean, so, but you're talking about a difference of 7.5%. You're not saying it's 100%, like this thing does not recognize dark skinned people at all.
All right.
It's a difference of 7.5%. So now that does make a difference. If there's 100 pedestrians, it's saying, you know, if there's seven of them that they're not going to recognize might be, you know, dark skinned people. Mm. If there's 1,000 pedestrians and it's not going to recognize 75 of the 1,000, that's still a bigger problem. And the more numbers go up, the bigger the problem. But again, it's not like it's 100%. It does not recognize dark-skinned people at all. It's a difference of 7.5%. But that number can add up, obviously, very, very quickly. And yes, this is just a continuous problem with the artificial intelligence and machine learning. It's what you're teaching. If you're not teaching the machine all of the information necessary, you're only teaching it what you're putting in is all it's going to learn.
Okay. I want to ask a very simple, possibly stupid, but important question. When we talk about pedestrian detection, we're talking about the car telling itself to stop when it sees someone, right?
Yes.
Okay. Why would the car not tell itself to stop when it sees anything, regardless of whether or not they can detect what it is?
Pedestrian doesn't mean in front of you. It means somebody on the sidewalk walking alongside the road.
Okay.
As well, so yes. it these cars recognize everything around them. It's a 360 degree view, and so it's going to look at the other vehicles that it's coming up. It's looking at the people walking on the street as well as people walking across the street. If it sees somebody on the sidewalk, on the side of the road, it's the car still is trying to identify everything going on around it.
Mm-hmm. So just to be clear, if it sees something in front of it, regardless of whether or not it can detect that it's a pedestrian, it'll still stop. I mean, all fun aside.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
It'll stop regardless of race, regardless of color. If it sees something in front of it, whether that's a person or a boulder, the side of a mountain.
If it can stop, it will. Yeah. I mean, if it's coming along 70 miles an hour and something walks out in front of it, that's going to be, you know, a problem.
Yes, and that's where the problem comes in, is if the pedestrian is off to the side and then all of a sudden is in front of, then, yes, that's a problem. It says, in the system's detection of darker-skinned individuals, meanwhile, it also found that biases get significantly worse in low-contrast and low-brightness situations, potentially leading to even more dangerous conditions when AI-powered pedestrian detection systems are used at night. So, the layers of this that should be fodder for every talk show at night, like, how is it that Jimmy Kimmel isn't getting miles and miles out of this?
Well, number one, these cars are still a long ways away from being released, mm-hmm. as into the everybody go out and grab an autonomous vehicle.
Right.
These are very, you still have to have a human behind the wheel to be able to take control of these things. This is what's going on in studies at this point.
All right. We're going to have to pause right now. We'll pick it up right after the break. He's Haggai Davis, the Cup of Tech Gumbo. We do it every Friday. Cup of Tech Gumbo with Haggai Davis, as we do every single Friday. So you had a story that you shared with me that I'm absolutely digging because it's so off the beaten path. It's not the normal advancements in technology. This is just something that's a personal preference thing. A lot more people are watching TV with subtitles these days.
Absolutely. It's Nielsen did a study, and it was like 51% of the people who watch shows now, they leave the subtitles on. And especially when you're watching like a lot of Scottish TV or you know, heavy Irish accents or even sometimes shows where you're not quite understanding what they're saying and you want to follow the plot, then you're following, you know, people are using subtitles. Because you can so much easier now, as opposed to, you know, 20 years ago when all you had was cable TV and the subtitles didn't work that well.
Netflix watchers are using captioning the most. 52% of survey respondents say they turn the feature on while they're watching. Subtitles help 81% of people better comprehend what they're watching. A significant part of the time, it was 70%. People use subtitles to understand foreign accents, like you were saying, particularly if a speaker is Scottish, which poses a problem for Outlander fans. I got to tell you, like...
We watch Outlander with subtitles.
I find that the subtitles distract from the overall picture. If my eyes are focused on reading, my eyes aren't focused on the entire thing. And my oldest daughter will often put on the subtitles, and that's just how she consumes content.
Because we've over the years now, you watch the morning news shows, and they all have the scroll going mm-hmm. across the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
So we're so multitasking, even just watching a TV, we've got to watch multiple things happening. We can't just focus on just the show anymore.
Well, our eyes gravitate towards words, though.
Yes.
If you have words and pictures, your eyes will gravitate towards the words. And once you're focused on one thing, you're not focused on the rest of it, which is why news has been so effective at making us all scared of everything, because everything says breaking news on the bottom. Yes. And it could be about a loaf of bread. We don't know. But it says breaking news. And that's what registers in our brains. And that's what sticks, is that something monumental is happening, whether it is or it isn't.
The follow up to that story was the majority of the people are now watching streaming more
yes.
than cable or broadcast TV.
Yeah.
So in the month of July, Nielsen reported that you're now, if you're watching cable TV, you're part of the minority of those who are watching.
Okay, but not only that, though, if you're watching cable TV via a cable provider.
Right.
Because you get all the shows from TV on YouTube or Hulu.
Right. If you're watching Amazon TV, YouTube TV, any one of those, that's the majority. If you're just streaming straight from the platforms, you're now over 50% of people who are watching shows are watching it streaming. They're not using the over-the-air, you know, broadcast TV or traditional cable TV.
I'm actually kind of shocked the number is where that's at. I thought it would have been higher.
Well, you still have people like me who still has cable at the house because my wife doesn't want me to cut the cable yet.
We've got a couple more topics we're going to touch on before we get out of here. I found that one intriguing about the subtitles, to be sure. Okay, here we go. Dive into the EV stuff. Man forced to ditch Ford EV truck during family road trip to Chicago. Quote, biggest scam of modern times. The story reads, Ford shares trend lower this morning after announcing a recall of over 870,000 F-150 trucks due to issues with its electric parking brakes. This comes after Ford's second quarter's earnings beat forecasting a slower than expected EV adoption into 2024. Yahoo Finance Live examines the pricing of Ford's Model E and compares the outlook to other EV automakers. So there's a Canadian man calling electric vehicles the biggest scam of modern times. How?
So this guy lives up near Winnipeg, Canada, and he decides he's going to take the family on a road trip to Chicago. It's a 1,200-mile round trip. Now, he bought a Ford Lightning, the F-150 pickup truck that's completely battery-operated.
Yeah.
We did a story a couple of months back that when you're – if you have an EV and it's in extremely cold weather, your mileage is almost cut in half.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy in January decides to drive from Winnipeg down to Chicago, and he's not getting the mileage that he's expecting, and he was 10 miles outside of Minneapolis and ran out of juice because the charging station he was going to pull up to in Elkhorn, Minnesota – was broken, and so he was stuck.
Okay.
And so instead of stopping 5 miles further back up the road where there was plenty of charging stations, he tried to go that extra, just as far as he possibly could, knowing that the infrastructure for charging stations is just not quite there. And so this guy just, he's an idiot. I mean, just poor planning on his part.
How, okay, Now, let's go back to the previous story about the breaking news and all that stuff. How does this one guy who just made a poor decision on the road garner this much attention to be have it at that level?
It's a clickbait story. Yeah. I mean, you're like, oh my God, EVs are a scam. EVs. And when we talked about it on the show, my son actually made a great analogy. This show, this story could have been run 100 years ago, going from horse-drawn carriages to gasoline engines.
Right. Where they just there didn't weren't enough gas stations yet, so.
Well, if I'd have had that horse pulling the wagon, we could have made it. And so it's just so far ahead. I mean, if you've got an EV, you're pioneering. You're way ahead. The infrastructure's not there yet for the whole family, you know, roadster to go on vacation, do a 1,200-mile trip yet.
Right.
It's getting there. 2 years from now, it's going to be a whole lot better than it is today, but it's just getting there.
I want you to stick around during the break. We got to hit news on air, but I've got a couple more questions about that one story. He's Haggai Davis. We do a cup of Tech Gumbo every Friday for a full serving of Tech Gumbo, Saturday and Sunday at 4 right here on Talk 107.3.